Good afternoon again, ladies and gentlemen. This is the BITS Sunday afternoon bonus section, I guess you might call it. We have some people from Adobe who are going to come talk to us about some things that they want to impart to us. And I'm sure you have some questions, and we hope by the time you walk out of here, you're going to have some answers. So, and they may have some feedback that they would like to get. So with that in mind, I don't think we need to really do another round robin with introductions because we did that earlier, and I don't think there's been a whole lot of change in that unless everybody disagrees with me. I think I'm going to continue to turn it over to Adobe and let them tell us what they want us to know. I want to... Matt, what is your last name?
May.
Yep. Matt May?
Matt May, yes.
I want to turn you over to this over to Matt May. I want to introduce him from Adobe, and he's going to tell us what we need to know.
Sorry about that. Or try. Yeah, hold on. Let me, I'm going to toss Rob's computer at him. All right. Okay, I think we're ready to go here. So, hi everybody. For those of you who were up early enough to hear the talks this morning,
lean right into that microphone.
I'm Matt May. I was the presenter this morning talking about Adobe accessibility, and we have enough people here that I think we could probably just do Q&A for things. So I'll break things down a little bit for you as far as what our job roles are. And for all intents and purposes for this presentation, Rob will represent PDF, Acrobat, and Reader, and I will represent everything else about Adobe. Any questions that you have about the company, about any of our products, about what we're doing with education, I'm happy to answer any of those questions. So, are there any burning questions that you would like me to respond to before I hand the rest of this off to Rob in a few minutes? Any questions at all? Oh, yes.
Hey, you want to get the mic
open? Hold on. Do we have another?
There's another wireless
we're on
microphone.
Recording, so I don't want
to. There's a wireless microphone sitting around here somewhere.
It's not around anymore. Wait,
it's in here.
Maybe this one. Let's see.
You got another one?
Yeah, we have it. Here, you can turn it on.
That's the idea is to get to someone who has a question and let them speak the question into the microphone.
Yeah,
worst comes to shove, you can just repeat the question.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? While we fumble with that one, I'll just give you the mic that I've had right here.
Okay, thanks. You asked about PDFs and you asked about Adobe. My question is very simple. Tell me everything else that's involved with Adobe. I hear Adobe and I just think of PDF generation, what else is there to it?
Great, that's perfect. I think we can start with that. Is this one working? Okay. Great. So, to start off, we at Adobe we have sort of divided our organization up into what we're calling clouds. So, if you're familiar with the term DC, as in Acrobat Pro DC or Reader DC, that refers to the document cloud, and that's going to be what Rob will be talking about. So anything that has to do with PDF document processing, with digital signatures, etc., is going to be a part of the document cloud. But that is only sort of one of, like, I guess, three pillars of the company that we have. There's also what's called the Creative Cloud, which Photoshop video editing software, the Illustrator for creating graphics, Dreamweaver for doing HTML editing, Premiere for video, After Effects for sort of advanced video effects. We used to have a tool called Flash Pro, which is now called Animate, and I could talk a little bit about what
that Flash Player.
That is a those two used to be strongly coupled, and now they are completely different kinds of things. Actually, I'll just get into this right now. So Flash was made up of two different components. You had the Flash player, which was just a player that ran in the web browser that played back the authored content that was produced in this tool called Flash Pro. And Flash Pro just let you create sort of graphics and be able to move them around. And so it became popular, of course, in things like games. But then they tried to do things that were more interesting, like business applications or areas where HTML was really strong because they had semantics and they had controls that people knew how to use and they had hooks into assistive technology. And that is why probably everybody here, including the people speaking, hate Flash. So what has happened in the last couple of years is that Flash Pro has changed into an authoring tool for basically creating games for any kind of platform. So we're not really even targeting the Flash player anymore. It is basically not a major part of our strategy. What we are doing is working with companies like Unity, which make the game engines for games like Clash of Clans or all of the really sort of high-end video games that are on mobile devices. And so Animate is now this tool that does the same thing that Flash used to do, but it is not for anything but sort of creating those kinds of games. So we're in a weird little transitional phase with what used to be Flash. But that is one of the creative tools that's a part of the Creative Cloud. There are about 20 odd desktop applications, and we're getting close to about 20 mobile applications that are in that space. Then the third cloud is known as Experience Cloud, and that includes a number of sort of enterprise tools for like web analytics, for testing and targeting applications to individual users for sort of testing the efficiency of a marketing message. There's a tool called Adobe Experience Manager, or AEM, which is a web content management system that's popular in education, on government sites, et cetera, that you may be familiar with without knowing about it. A number of tools that sort of run in the back end of a marketing operation. So in addition, in that area is also sort of video distribution. So I mentioned Adobe Primetime, and that is sort of a bundle of technologies that allow major broadcasters, and you can name them, and they're probably on this platform, to distribute their video that was made for broadcast into different spaces. And of course we have the support in that for captioning, for audio description, etc. So that from the moment that they are distributing this over the air, that they can also put all that same content on the web at the same time. So a lot of that technology has accessibility implications, making sure that all of those captions carry through, all of that audio description carries through, and that's another thing that we do in that space. So as far as what we're doing organizationally to deal with sort of all of these tools, and of course things like Adobe Connect, our web conferencing product, and a few other tools like Captivate, which is used for making educational products, or learning materials. It's a tool called Captivate Prime, which is a learning management system. Kind of too many to list beyond that of things that we make, but we are. We have a product management team, we have a product manager for each cloud, where we are communicating with each of these products to explain what is necessary to create an accessible learning experience, and setting the goals for them to meet in subsequent releases. One of the big things that we've done in recent times is we have added accessibility into the what we call the service lifecycle. So the process by which products become shipping products. There are a bunch of hurdles that you go through to get there, and accessibility is now one of those milestones. So I'm sitting in on a lot of different product meetings and asking about accessibility, and if I'm not satisfied with the progress that is being made, I get to drag my heels and slow this product down until they actually are making concrete progress on accessibility. So that is a big improvement in our overall process to make sure that we're making these things better for people. So that's the overall architecture. I think we can get into the individual details, and I'd be happy to take some time toward the end and talk with you about sort of individual issues that you might have. But if anybody, if we don't have any questions right now, I'd be happy to pass it off to Rob, and he can get into the sort of deep technical voodoo that is PDF and the Acrobat platform. So I'll pass this off to Rob, and I'll be here for Q&A. Thanks.
Great. Deep technical voodoo.
Which is different than deep technical voodoo. which is sometimes what we find ourselves in.
Well, and you know, yes. I came over to Adobe a little over a year ago.
Let me lean into that microphone a little bit.
Came over to Adobe a little over a year ago, and promptly was jumped into the PDF waters. And yes, there is probably still some voodoo around creating accessible PDF. And things I kind of wanted to talk about today, and again, as Matt said, there's only less than a dozen of us here, so we can make this kind of casual and interactive. So if you have questions, I am certainly more than happy to try to address them. What I do want to point out is a couple of things. There are, as everyone in this room probably knows, there are challenges around accessible PDFs. A couple of the key elements to that are, number one, the source document itself. I'm going to be a little bit blunt here. I work with our customers almost every day, and it sometimes drives me a little crazy when they send me a PDF that they created from another document format, and they go, and it's not accessible, and I don't understand why it's not accessible. And so I say, well, what was your original source document? And they say, well, it was PowerPoint. Is your PowerPoint accessible? Well, no, PDF should be the accessible version. I'm like, no, everything you make should be an accessible version of that document. You don't know if the person's going to be looking at the PowerPoint. And if you take the effort to make the original source document accessible, the PDF version is going to be much more accessible, and the manual work that you're going to have to do is going to be a lot less. I actually come most recently from Microsoft. Brett and I know each other well. And Office has done a lot of work to help you make accessible Office documents. So do that and then convert it to a PDF, and you will have a better experience. The other challenge that I kind of wanted to address today is when you are converting to a PDF from whatever other source document, there's usually more than one way you can do that. I'm going to use Word for an example, because I think at last count, I think there were 6 different ways that I can convert from a Word document to a PDF. And you are going to get different results depending upon which method of conversion you use. And so it's important to know what you want that end result to be before you choose your conversion method. And again, you know, choosing the right method with the accessible source document will allow you to get to a more accessible PDF. When we think about accessibility in the document cloud, and certainly with Acrobat, we kind of break it into two categories, creation and consumption. So we think about what is it going to take for you to create an accessible PDF, and can someone then read that accessible PDF? So when we prioritize our work, are you looking for the microphone?
No.
Okay. So when we prioritize our work, we're always kind of looking at the balance between both of those aspects. Most recently, we've been working on mobile readers, so the Acrobat reader for mobile devices for iOS and for Android. I was just in a meeting last week with some folks from the CDC, and they had done a survey recently that showed that 52% of the people who access PDF documents via their website are using mobile devices. So that kind of really changes the whole perspective, and it becomes mobile. I want to say mobile first, although that's exactly the way that the CDC phrased it. They said they want mobile first. They want it to be able to be read on a mobile device and accessed on a mobile device. So I would encourage you two things, and actually Tom and I still have to work this out. He was caught a little by surprise this morning when Matt said that I'm going to be at the BITS suite Tuesday. Let's see, what's today? Today's Sunday. Tuesday and Wednesday. That was something that the former president, John, and I had talked about. And one of the things I want to do there is have you, if you have not, download the latest version of Acrobat Reader on your mobile device, be it iOS or Android, and let's play with that and get some feedback from you. We haven't got everything supported yet, but we do have the basic information like headings and links and alt text on images that now you can read and you can navigate by on the mobile device. The other thing that I want to point out, equally important along with the source document being fully accessible, is the need to have the most current version of the product. You guys have been hearing this all your lives. You know, you hear it from Microsoft, you hear it from Google, you hear it from Apple, you hear it from everybody. If you want the most accessible, you got to get the most current. For us, for PDF, that is Acrobat Pro DC. If you have Acrobat Pro 11, you don't have the most current. And the reason for that is no different than you've also heard from Microsoft when talking about Office 365. We have more frequent updates to the subscription-based services, so Acrobat Pro DC. About four times a year, we're putting out releases. And every single one of those releases has improvements for accessibility. So if you're not on that, you're not getting the latest and the greatest and the best. And in particular, in creating accessible PDFs, I can't overstate the importance of that. When I first started, it was before we had started doing these regular updates for accessibility, really, to Acrobat Pro DC. And I was kind of astounded at how hard it was and how many things I needed to know in this voodoo to make an accessible PDF. And so we are pretty much every release starting to knock some of those off and go, okay, this was causing extra grief for people. Let's fix that. And so we're kind of just taking those one at a time, looking at what are the most critical for us. in order to do that, feedback from you guys is essential. So you are all my new best friends. You can contact me directly. I'm happy to give you my business card. Tom also has my contact information, so he'll be happy to share that with you. Love to work with you when you're dealing with challenges with PDF. The last thing I kind of want to touch on is something that actually, to be honest, kind of caught me a little bit by surprise. I had a customer last week who had a PDF that looked like it had been tagged perfectly correctly. It was a scanned document. They used a third-party product that I honestly cannot remember the name of. I was not familiar with it. They took the scanned document, they ran OCR, they tagged it, they ran their tagger for tagging that PDF document, and the tag tree looked right, but the screen reader wasn't reading it. And I looked at it, and there was something that kind of caught my eye that this seems a little funky. So I deleted all the tags, went back to the original scan document, I ran our OCR on it, I ran our auto tagger on it, and it came out 100% accurate. Had the headings were right, the lists were all right, everything was tagged perfectly. So I encourage people, when you run into a problem, do one of two things. One, if you can get back to the source document, make sure it's accessible. If you can't get back to the source document, think about deleting the tags and then re-tagging that document. Or if it's a scanned document, rerunning OCR and re-tagging that document. Frequently, I have found that will solve a lot of problems. So there's kind of my challenges, my tips, my tricks, briefly. Questions?
I have a question that I think will probably... I don't want to blow your platform here. I want to be careful with that.
Oh, come on, blow my platform. It's all voodoo anyway. Come on.
Because many people are receiving PDF documents that are, you know, we think of a PDF document as a one-way street. You get it loaded into your computer, you have it tagged, you have it read, you get the information. Ah, but there's a new one. Some people are getting PDF documents that actually have you fill out a form. You enter information into the document as well. So now that thing becomes not just a one-way street where you read stuff, but now you're giving information back to that form, and you want to enter it appropriately in the right places, being harnessed by the appropriate material to keep you within the boundaries as you fill in your fields, et cetera, so on and so forth. I just wanted to have you talk a little bit about that and show tell us how we can do that. Is there an accessible way for us to do that?
I could not have planted a better question. So thank you very much for that question, because I did forget sort of the other part of my life in the document cloud, which is our product called Adobe Sign. And the purpose for Adobe Sign, I was going to say the purpose for Adobe Sign is making documents accessible for signing, but that actually isn't really the purpose. That's my purpose for Adobe Sign. Adobe Sign is designed for organizations, banks, lots of banks use it, governments are starting to use it to send out documents for people to fill them out and return them online.
Doctors, hospitals.
Sorry?
So are doctors' agencies,
absolutely.
Doctors' offices, hospitals, etc.
Everybody is starting, mortgage brokers. My you know, I recently refinanced my house and my mortgage broker sent me one, which was not accessible. There are two things with that. Number one, if you talk about voodoo for PDF accessibility, PDF forms is kind of voodoo on steroids. It is harder, and there are some things that from an accessibility standpoint with regard to creating an accessible PDF form we have not solved. It is hard to figure out where to place the form field if you cannot actually see the form itself. Now, that aside, once you do have an accessible form and you've created an accessible form, if you are using Adobe Sign to transmit that form to people to fill it out, sign it, and return it, it can be done in an accessible way. So whoever's sending the form out needs Adobe Sign. There is some work they need to do on the form in Adobe Sign itself to make sure that the form fields are going to be read correctly and have the correct information in them. One of the gotchas with this is, and this kind of almost goes back to the original intent, I think, of PDF, when a document is sent out to be signed, it is an image. And laid on top of that image are the form fields. And there's a reason that it's an image. If someone sends you a contract to sign, they want to know that what they get back is what they sent you and that you haven't edited that contract. And so there's a reason that it's actually an image. So to be able to read the document before you fill it out and sign it, you can, when someone is using Adobe Sign and sends you the document, you can open it in Acrobat Reader, read the document, go back into Adobe Sign, and then it will just allow you to navigate through the form fields themselves and not the rest of the content in that document. So you're just filling out the form fields, signing, and submitting. Does that answer your...
Yes, that excellent. Does very well. It's just that, you know, you oftentimes get presented with a form that you can't do anything with. But if you get it as a digitized element, it's a PDF form, okay, or it's a PDF document, but you get it in the form of a digitized entity, can you then do something with it to be able to turn it into a potential information where I can make this two-way street workforce, so I can put information that it wants in it, its appropriate places, and then once printed, can yield the appropriate paper result?
So, yes and no. Again, in this particular case, with regard to forms, it is completely dependent upon the author of the form. If they do not send you a form that has been authored to be accessible so that the screen reader can read it and you can fill it out, you're stuck. We don't currently have a solution for that, similar to, you know, taking OCR and taking a text form and converting it and tagging it so you can read it. We are moving in that direction, albeit I would say from a form standpoint, it's going to be more slowly than from the document standpoint. Machine learning is kind of the big thing everybody's talking about these days and everybody's using, and we're no different. And our goal is to be able to, for you to be able to get a document or a form and open it up, and it won't matter whether the author has done their job or not. You'll be able to convert it into an accessible document or form and use it. I would say the document side of that, we'll probably have pretty good results in 6 to 12 months. The form side, I'm guessing it'll be a couple years. And that's, don't quote me on that, because that's just a wild ass guess. You know. But we're totally aware of that, and we're totally working on it. Forms drives me crazy. Forms is really hard.
Well, that's why I raised the issue myself.
Yes, and I'll tell you, and this is why I look forward to communicating directly with you guys. The more examples I have of documents with issues or challenges, or that you can't figure out what to do with, the better for me, because then I can go back to the engineering team with actual hard information. Every time I get a document or a form, you know, like I said, I refinanced my house recently, I'm using those finance forms as examples of, oh, look, this doesn't work. This wasn't made accessible. How can we do this and make it easier for people to use it? So we're moving forward. Oh, my friend from Microsoft, Brett, let me bring you the mic.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was just having a big enough mouth.
Well, that is true.
That's true. So, no, I get the thing. So, I have low vision. And so, oftentimes, I like playing board games and random stuff, and I'll just go pull the PDF from their website.
And the only problem I have is just ordering, like, do the newer, because I haven't edited a PDF in a long time, to be honest. Do the newer ones help just discern order? Because in particular, things like board games and other things, it is sometimes kind of hard to get the order right, because left, right, top to bottom isn't really necessarily how they intended it to be read. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah.
The board layout, there's like something on this side, left side, the top side, the bottom side of the board, it doesn't always read it in an order that would make sense, and I don't know if there's a way to like click and drag and like move to say, oh, here's the flow that I want, and then move on. I don't know if I've used it in a while, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, so currently in, he was asking about reading order, and currently in Acrobat, there are actually 8 different tools that you get to learn and use in order to make a fully accessible PDF. One of those is the reading order tool, which allows you to set the reading order, and you're actually going to set it numerically. It's not a drag and drop at this point in time, although we're looking at redoing the UI for that. Again, if the reading order is authored correctly in the source document, the likelihood is you're going to get close to 100% on the reading order in the converted PDF. The gotcha there kind of is how complex that document is. The more complex you make a document, probably the more manual remediation you're going to have to do, and the more tools within Acrobat you're going to have to understand in order to get that remediation done correctly. One of my jobs over the next 6 months is to rewrite all of our help support on the Acrobat site for creating accessible PDFs and accessible forms, because we've done a lot of work to make it easier, and we didn't really create it originally in a way that walks you through sort of the process. You know, the information's all out there, and if you know what you're looking for or you can search for it, you can figure it out. But I'm kind of the person that wants my hand held, and I want you to show me where I go next. And so that's what we're doing now, is redoing that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I was going to say, a lot of people, I sent them feedback like, hey, this reading order's wrong. Like, great, show me how to fix it. So that's been awesome. So it's good that you guys are doing that. So
the other thing. Thank you. So, well, and thank you, Brett, because the other thing that I am doing on the Document Cloud site. We have a bunch of different blog sites. We have an accessibility blog, and you can just go out to adobe.com/accessibility, and from there you can link to our blog, and that will give you a link to the Document Cloud blog rather than give you all of these different URLs. And every 2 weeks, I'm writing blogs that are doing one of two things. Either if we have a release, it'll be basically release notes, and so it'll tell you what's new and how you use it. And then I'm doing tips and tricks. And it's interesting that you mention the reading order and people asking, well, how do I fix this? My boss's boss actually brought that up as something I should be adding to my tips and tricks. So you'll be seeing a blog shortly on, oh, if you've got things that are not in the right reading order, here's how you fix that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Brett, right in front of you is Jeff with his hand up.
Jeff, I'm waiting for you next. Actually, the person bears their hand up before it.
I'm sorry.
I really have two things. The first one is I'm part of an organization where we receive source documents that we cannot alter. So they come in as PDF, whatever format. And I have found using the accessibility in Adobe DC Pro for OCR has been lacking as opposed to when I use, say, OmniPage Pro. And so I'm just curious to see, is there any way to, I don't know, any suggestions? A lot of times it just, I could see like there's an S and just, you know, OmniPage will get the word right and the Adobe just will not, even if I run it through.
Yeah, that's a really good question also, and kind of a good point. It can be challenging, and you know, it depends on the document. The example I gave you a little bit ago about the OCR, it was an extremely clean, simple, text-only document. that OCR'd beautifully. I'm not going to pretend that everything's going to OCR beautifully. And if you have a tool that you think works better right now, I encourage you to use it. It doesn't hurt my feelings at all. The goal is to get an accessible PDF and whatever you need to do that. Frequently I found that if you OCR it more than once, you'll get different results regardless of the tool that you're using. So you may get better results. It depends on how much you don't get right and whether it's worth manually fixing that or whether you're going to use a different OCR tool. We are working on improving our OCR capabilities along with everything else. So I can say stay tuned, but don't be shy about using what you need to use to get the job done.
And the other thing is since I do use Adobe DC, the change from Adobe 11 over to DC, when you're using screen magnification, sometimes is rather tedious to find what you're looking for. Because we'll use just like the documents pull down. Now is sometimes when you do the tools, you have to go searching all around. And I'll just use create a PDF from Scanner. It now places the information all the way in the middle of the screen. And you have to keep moving back and forth. You have to be jogging all over the screen. That's just my comment, just to find what you're looking for. When it was more centralized, located under the menu tab on the top.
Okay, that's good feedback. It's kind of fun sometimes. You know, you get designers who look at this stuff and they're like, "Oh, this is going to be easier," and they don't take into account, for example, using screen magnification software, and it's like, "Oh, that isn't actually easier." It may also be that. Depending on how you're using it, I'm happy to sit down and walk through it with you, and see what you know what's going on. I have found that I frequently have to adjust. I don't use technically screen magnification, but I use a different resolution, and I've got the font's big, and I've got everything set up as fairly large, and I find that. It requires me then to set up Acrobat so that I can get the right information where I need it to be. And that is one of the things they tried to do with the newer version and with changing the way the tools are laid out. You can still get to them in the old way, and that will may solve some of the problems. But like you say, I adjust where things are so that they work for me. So yeah, I'm happy to work with
sure,
you on
that.
Jeff.
So in my current work at the University of Arizona, we deal with material that we get from publishers, either in PDF format or in Adobe Digital Editions format. And more than not, we tend to get files where all of the spaces have been removed from every single word in a document, including new line characters. Meaning that it's almost impossible to read the document unless you're crazy and can read, 125,000 character words. So I'm just wondering if you've seen this. It's impossible to get back to an originating source document. If you know what the problem is, we've consulted with the publishers and they have no clue why it's happening. And have not been able to get a really good answer as to how to solve the problem, except for us to take the book and scan it ourselves and then regenerate it in accessible format ourselves, which defeats the whole purpose of working with the publishers. So I was just wondering if you had any feedback on this and any words of wisdom you can give us.
I don't know as I go quite as far as words of wisdom, but I'll make a stab. There's a couple of things that I typically do, and yes, education provides me with some of my greatest opportunities to improve PDF. Textbooks are usually extremely complex, and so I have spoken to, last year I went to the Accessing Higher Ground conference, which is pretty much an education conference, and so I got the opportunity to talk to lots of people. The thing that I always do first, it does not always work, but the thing that I always do first when I get a PDF that either is not tagged or the tagging is weird like that, where all the spaces are removed, is I delete the tags and I run the Acrobat auto tagger to retag it. It may give you kind of a funky looking tree sometimes, but it likely will also give you something that a screen reader can actually read.
What about the digital editions books, though? Because you, those are DRM.
Oh, good. Matt's going to take that one.
Okay, so the one important thing about to know about EPUB is that it's a zip file with basically HTML inside of it. So if you want to help them diagnose the document, you can ask them, could you pretty please send me an unsigned, an unencrypted version of it, and open it up and see what is actually on the inside of the document. There isn't, EPUB, unlike PDF, doesn't have a layer of tagged PDF. The tags are within the document, and so if they published from whatever publishing process they have to generate the EPUB, and they are using some special kind of glyph for the space bar, that would explain the problem. So. So it might be something that's as simple as like a search and replace for a Unicode character that isn't the actual space character. So that might solve the problem, and it would probably be something within the process that generated that, especially if the PDF and the EPUB are exhibiting the same kind of problem.
But there's no way inherently to without getting it in that format to be able to help them.
The text is in the tag in Acrobat, so you'd be able to dig in and see what is actually being expressed as the tag. The thing that I would drill in on, though, is that it's the same thing that's happening in two completely different formats. And I think one other thing that I wanted to throw out there to diagnose a PDF document that's that's inaccessible to you is to either Control D or Command D to open up the document properties panel, and that dialog box will tell you whether or not it is tagged PDF. And the other information that's useful in there is what tool generated that PDF document. Because if you see something where it's like, oh, it was generated using Acrobat 7, well, there's your problem. You know, like if you're using an old tool or a tool that doesn't actually conform to the PDF standard, all bets are off, really. So there's that's another thing to dig into when you see issues like that.
Thank you.
And unfortunately, all else fails, and Matt's suggestions are all the right approaches to try to take. But if you end up where you've got a publisher who's like, no, I'm not going to give you that, and you're stuck with what I gave you, then unfortunately, you are probably stuck where you are today, which is scanning it in and creating your own PDF. Because there's no other way that I can think of to fix that broken. I mean, you could manually probably fix it, but I think that almost takes more time. I would expect that would take more time than scanning in the pages of the book and OCRing it and re-tagging it. I think you'd end up with better results.
Unless a quick search and replace would work.
Well, yes, there are some ways that we might be able to. I actually had someone say, can we just go in and edit the text that we find in the tag? The problem is then you end up with tags that may not actually be consistent with what the text is that's actually in the document, and so then you're cheating.
Matt's going to speak again.
Yeah, no, the thing that, like, my suspicion would be that that they're using, like, a non-breaking space instead of a space. And so that, so it, or what is it, a zero width joiner or something like that, that is superfluous, but some really anal retentive typesetter decided that they wanted to have it exactly the way that they wanted to be, and that might be another source of that problem.
I've even seen null characters or 255 characters used as spacers in files. That's caused that too. So
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, that could be it too. Okay, I think that we are actually significantly over the time that I was allotted.
Gained a little more.
But I appreciate the time with you folks, and I'm happy to stay and continue to talk. I don't know what you have next. Actually, I think we're the end, aren't we?
Actually, we're pretty much towards the end of this actual presentation, although it's not exactly locked in. What I will tell you is that we will be more than happy to entertain some further stuff in the bid suite. So stay tuned, folks, and we'll get to you with more information as time goes along.
Raise your hand if you would like one of my business cards, and I will come around to hand them out.
Oh, you can.
And I want to thank both Rob and Matt for doing a fantastic job with Adobe and Adair.
I'm Rob. And if you want to. Matt does have one.
Matt does have one.
But you can also contact me and say, I want to be in touch with Matt.
And for those of you that are still here and want to know, we have that Bits Mixer tonight, so.
Can we ask one more question?
Be ready.
No, you cannot. Okay. Just a minute. If you want to hook up, well, I'm here through Wednesday afternoon. So if you want to hook up over here, feel free to text me, and I'm happy to set up time with you.
Okay. So, also for those who might want to come aboard the organization and haven't done so yet, Richard B., I believe, is still here. Richard?
I think he left.
Oh, he may have left.
But
all right.
You're invited.
But there are ways to do it by going on the BITS website at bits-acb.org, looking for your PayPal link that can actually send you through the process. So, thank you very much.
What is the room number for the suite tonight for the mixer?
Well, it's either 2951 or 43. I thought it was 43.
Well, see, they yeah,
29.
They come back at 7 to the key, so I don't know which one.
Right. So we're going to be going forward with
the president's
luncheon tomorrow.
Says president's
that's our next presentation.
Said that's 43.